Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once again, a very special welcome to all of our visitors today. We are certainly blessed by your presence, and we're glad to have you here to worship with us. My name is Father Matthew Bailey. I'm one of the priests here at St. Joe's. We are, as you can probably tell from your experience perhaps with the other churches, a little bit different. We are an independent Catholic community. Many of our independent communities are smaller parishes, so we gather here in our chapel. If anyone stop at St. Joe's on the street by mistake and try to walk in, we've had guests do that before. They've come and said, "This can't be right. You're far too, it's far too big and stone built for what I saw on the website." But today in our gospel reading, we are continuing through the fifth chapter of Matthew. We are in the part of the Bible that is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And it's really a beautiful portion of scripture, some beautiful writings where Jesus is talking to his followers and the vast crowd which gathers before him. And it is here that we hear Jesus teach us how to pray. Here he gives us the Lord's Prayer. And it is here that Jesus gives us his version of the Golden Rule. And it is here that we have the parables for the kingdom. And last week we have those beautiful verses, if you were able to be here, of your Beatitudes. His own interpretations of sorts of the Ten Commandments, where we hear, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And these wonderful words where Jesus almost spells out his agenda of sorts and what it means to be a Christian and to be his follower. And this week, the Gospel passage directly follows that. It directly follows the Beatitudes. And we have Jesus talking directly to the crowd. I have a Bible at home, which is a version where in it the words of Jesus are printed in red. And I kind of like those Bibles because you could open them up and you could see those red words and they just seem to pop out at you and they seem to jump out at you. And it's not as much of the story of what's happening, but it's Christ speaking. And if we believe the word's alive, if we believe that it continues to have an impact on us today, we could place ourselves there in that crowd. And despite the fact that it's been thousands of years, despite the fact that it's a world away, we can see that Jesus still today speaks to you, and he still speaks to me. And the words can have relevance to our own lives. And we could become those red-letter Christians, the people who actually try to immerse themselves in the words of Christ and the teachings of Christ and what God actually calls us to through Christ's ministry on earth. Perhaps a bit more articulately than people who dress like this and me could ever guide us with when we listen directly to the words of Christ himself. But I like to sort of sometimes pretend that, you know, maybe what it would be like to be there. You close your eyes and you transport yourself. In today's gospel, instead of being read by me, you're sitting behind the guy in the crowd who's making the sarcastic comments, wondering when Jesus was going to start to begin, and next to the lady who was yelling at her kids because they wouldn't calm down, and she's trying to get them to sit and to listen, to be there amidst the excitement, and to have all the people who are wondering, following this man Jesus they've heard so much about, and to hear what it is that he says to them, and 1,000 years later, what it is that he still says to us. I think it's interesting to note in today's gospel that Jesus speaks to us in declarative sentences. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. They're declarative. This is what you are. He doesn't say, I'd really like to call you the salt of the earth. In order for me to do that, here's what you have to do. Or, it would really be nice if we could identify you as the light of the world. Here's a checklist. And here's what it is that I expect of you in order for you to take this title on and to identify yourself as this important person. They are declarative sentences. You are the salt. You are the light. And you know, Jesus is using very common analogies. They're very simple. They're easy to understand. This isn't like parables where sometimes we have to look for a little bit of interpretation. It's not where we get a little bit surprised by the ending of the story. The expression salt of the earth and light of the world, we know what that means. It's very common. And you can see that because it's been around for, you know, thousands of years. In Jesus' time, it made as much sense then as it does to us today. So we understand very clearly, I think, what it is that Jesus is calling us and how it is that Jesus is identifying us. You know, there are some studies that have been done by psychologists about the esteem of children and how negative words and positive words can have such impacts on them. And it has been predicted that, by some estimates, that for every one negative thing that we say to a child, it takes 10 positive things to build up that esteem back and to get them back to a place where they believe in themselves and trust in themselves and know themselves. We talk about it with children, but I think it may be the same with adults. It may even be worse sometimes. But we take the words that we hear from others and we hold on to those. And when we say to a child, you know, you're unruly, you're misbehaving, you're bad, you can't be trusted, it really shouldn't surprise us over the course of time that the child acts unruly and the child acts in a way they can't be trusted. And the child lives up to the words which we are told. And a lot of times we see this in the church, tragically. We have so many people who've had experiences with religious leaders where they've sat down and perhaps they've heard something said. Here's why you're not good enough. Here's how you're not giving enough. Here's why you're not doing enough. Here's why your check needs to be bigger. Here's what's wrong with you. Here's how you have fallen short. Here's what's wrong with you. And so many people, thousands of people, millions of people, have stood up from that and said, I'm walking away. And I'm done. And I've had enough of this. And I don't need to be talked to this way anymore. And they stand up and they walk out the back doors of that church. And the next Sunday comes, and they don't go back. And another Sunday comes, and they don't go back. And it becomes a pattern, and it gets easy because they have left. But as much as we stand up, and as much as we walk away, and as much as we leave, in very real ways, those words still are carried with us. Just because we don't go back to hear them told to us again, it doesn't mean that we have shed that baggage. We may still have that feeling, I'm unworthy. We may still have that feeling, I'm a bad person. We may still have that feeling, I don't live up to what I'm supposed to do. I'm not being the person I'm supposed to be. It's easy to carry that baggage. And I think it happens to a lot of us, especially as adults, because nobody knows us better than ourselves. No one witnesses our shortcomings better than ourselves. You know, how many times do we say, you know, I could have done that better, or why do I always do it that way? We beat ourselves up quite a bit. And we have those words which harbor us in the background, and they can hold us back. But here today is something that, and I, you know, Father Sean and I try not to be like that. I think you've probably picked up. We try to, you know, spread a message of a gospel of welcome and a gospel of inclusion and a gospel of love and our belief of that's how Christ has called us to live and how Christ has called us to be. But you may hear us say that, and you may walk out and say, well, they're just being nice, or that's what they're supposed to say. Or that's their job. They're supposed to make us feel that way. And we still carry that doubt. And we still carry that hesitation. And we still, you know, hold that in our heart. And as much as I wish that our words would be powerful and be able to transform that for you, perhaps they can. But that's why today's gospel is so important. And that's why today's gospel is so powerful. Because they're the red letters of the Bible. Because today Christ is speaking to you. Christ is talking to you, and Christ is saying, you are salt, and you are light, and you are valuable, and that can't be changed. You know, even the examples that Christ gives, he asks, if the salt loses its flavor, what can it be seasoned? Have you ever seen salt that's lost its flavor? I've seen salt get hard in the box or something like that, but you break it up and it's still salty. You know, it's absurd. Of course, you know, salt doesn't lose its flavor. The crowd would have known that. And lighting a lamp and putting it under a bushel basket, do we think that would work? I mean, wouldn't it just light the basket on fire, probably, and make the light burn even brighter and make it even more obvious and more evident. I mean, I think what Christ is saying here is these things are unchangeable. These things can't be altered. You are salt. You are light. You may not live up to it. You may not be perfect. You're human. You're going to fall short. But you're still light, and you're still salt. And no matter what you do, and no matter what doubts you have, and no matter what other people tell you, this is your identity, and this is who you are, and this isn't going to change. And I think it's important for us to remember that. Because it means that every day is a new beginning. And it means that every day we can start anew and we could claim that identity. And we could be that salt. And we could be that light. You know, salt does a lot of things. It flavors. It preserves. We used to believe that it would purify. This winter in particular, we know that it melts. But despite all of the things that salt does, is as versatile as it is, as important it is. In the old baptismal rite, they used to take little bits of salt and put it on the baby's tongue. And the rites where we bless holy water, we don't do it all the time as much, but there's a rite of the blessing of the salt before we put it in with the water to make it holy water. I mean, salt has always been an essential element. But as important as salt is and as versatile as it is, with its purifying, its preserving, and its flavoring, it doesn't act alone. And it can't act alone. You know, in order for salt to flavor, you've got to have food to put it in. In order for salt to preserve, you have to have that piece of cod or something that you're going to sprinkle it with. In order for the salt to melt, the snow must be there to put it on. And I think it's a way of God saying to us that we are to be a people of the world. You know, living off in the monastery alone by yourself without contact is a very special and a very important vocation. But it is not one that is universally shared. And it's pretty special and pretty unique. For the vast majority of people who are called to be followers of Christ, we are to be a people of the world, and we are to be present. We are to be in the mix of things. We're to be in the midst of things. We're to interact. And for us to be the salt that is worthwhile and to fulfill its purpose and to fulfill its destiny and to be useful, we have to encounter those things. We have to have those elements that we interact with. And it could be things large, and it could be things small. It could be a casual conversation with someone who looks like they're having a down day and offering them a word of hope, and maybe a pat in the back or a hug. Or it could be something dramatic, and it could be speaking out against something when we see a lack of justice, when we see people are being oppressed, and it need not happen, and we can speak out against it. It can mean when we see someone who is poor and impoverished and there's a situation where they're not getting the help they need, and we stand up and we do it for them. Being Christians, being followers of Christ, being those salty people, those people of light that we hear about in the gospel, it's not all large things. It's not all big things. It could be very little mundane things in our everyday life. I think sometimes we are hesitant to look at ourselves and to say, you know, here's what I have done well. I think we've sometimes been taught that it's boasting. We've been taught that it's prideful. And we've been taught that we're not supposed to reflect on those things that we do well and that we're good at. But if we sit and we look around, we may see those moments where we have been salt and we have been light. We have been the presence of God in the lives of those around us. And there's nothing wrong with stopping and trying to search for those moments and reflect on those moments. And maybe it's easier sometimes to point them out in other people than it is to point them out in ourselves. I think sometimes it's a good exercise to start with. When you say, who is it that I work with? Who is it that I live next to? Who is it that I went to church with that was salt and light to me? Or salt and light to someone else in my life? I'd be interested to see if we started to write those moments down. If we started to say, here is how God was acting through my friend, my neighbor, through someone else. And we started to make a list and keep track of God's presence and goodness in our lives. And then maybe we'd be a little bit bold and we'd be able to start writing some of the moments where we have done those things down as well. If each of us were to take those and put them on a list and bring them in here and collect them and have our salt and light list, you know, how big would it be and how deep would it be? And how much of an impact would it have on us to see God's presence working in our lives every day? And maybe change the way that we think about how we interact with others. And I think that's fundamentally what the gospel calls us to, is conversion of thought. It's changing the way that things are and the way that we believe things can be. Because because we have been taught and we have been told by priests and politicians, by neighbors and parents and teachers and colleagues and all sorts of people that, you know, here's how we have failed, or here's what we're supposed to do, and here's why we're falling short. And Christ knows those things, and Christ knows the depths of our heart and our minds and our soul more than any of those people, indeed, more than ourselves. And despite all of this knowledge and despite all of this awareness, Christ still says, you are salt and you are light, and you can be my followers. And if you embrace this path, you can and you will change our world.